you. This is James from survivalpunk.com. I'm back with another episode. Today is Wednesday, February 6, 2019. I realize I've never really said the date before. So that's the date. And since I record right before it goes out now, it's not a future time displacement thing. So before I record the episode, sometimes days in advance. Not anymore. I record, I publish, it's super fresh. You don't have that old, rotten podcast smell when you open it up and listen to it. So the freshest podcast. So yeah, should have a fun, interesting episode today. It's one that has been asked about before, and for my 2-3 month absence hiatus drought, I have some experience with today's subject. So it's how to deal with prepper burnout. So I guess it was partly prepper burnout, partly podcast burnout that afflicted me. You know, guys, I don't know how the hell Jack Spirico managed to put out 5 episodes a week for like 10 years now. The man's a monster. I've met him. I've talked to him. He's just a fucking beast. And since he does it full time, I guess it's his job. There's no room for burnout. You gotta do it. For me, this is a fun hobby. You know, until I get like 1,000 Survival Punk Army members, and then I can do it full time. But certainly I'll get 1,000 Survival Punk Army members when I, you know, wasn't here for 3 months. Anyway, prepper burnout, that's the subject today. I've got several thoughts on it. I did some research on it, to see what other people were talking about, suggestions on how to deal with it and overcome it. And so research this week was surprisingly hard. If you go Google prepper burnout, which is completely safe, unlike, you know, Googling how to dispose of a dead body, half of the results were not prepping related. And a couple of the websites look like they've been hacked. So they go to, wiener pill sites. So Survival Punk doesn't take you to a wiener site, at least. But yeah, and then one was an ad that wouldn't even let me see the content. So, not a lot of good information there. And the rest of the results were videos, which of course Google pushes the YouTube video results hard since it owns YouTube. Of course. So let's see. Let's knock out some quick housekeeping before we get into the show. First, I want to give a shout out to John, who is also a long over the road truck driver, long distance truck driver. He also sent in the question about getting home, what to do about a disaster while driving far away from home, how to get home. I knew there was multiple people that had asked that question. John emailed me. Ross put it on the page on the group. He put it in the Survival Punks group on Facebook, which you should join, by the way, because it's awesome. He put it in there, so it was easier for me to find in there instead of my email buried between, you know, the email gets so full of junk. So shout out to John. I knew there was somebody else, but I couldn't remember it. He shot me an email saying, you know, I also sent you this idea. So yes, I knew there was somebody else. It was John. So, and he, seemed to like it. So, people seemed to like that episode. Thought I knocked one out the park there. Next up, let me know what your thoughts are on a Survival Punk meetup. So I've had some people reaching out about it, probably for the spring, since winter's gross and no one wants to get out anyway, right? So we'll see if we can find a location amenable for many people and go camping or meet up or something. we're just spitballing right now. We'll see where it goes. Let's see. If you have questions, comments, show ideas, probably the best way to get a show idea is to go to the Survival Punks group on Facebook. Leave it there. There's a sticky post in there. Drop it in there. That's probably the best way. Email. You can email me. I will see it. It's james@survivalpunk.com. All the emails go there. I checked them. I definitely read that, and I should have moved it to like a special folder, like show ideas. I'm terrible on folders. And I really need to go through and clean up the email. So that'll be a project for this weekend or something, instead of watching cartoons all morning. Next, as always, you can leave a voicemail. And I really, really, really want y'all to get me some voicemails. Before doing the show, I double-checked to make sure I didn't have any lingering ones. I didn't see anything. So give me a call, 615-657-9104. 615-657-9104. You can leave a voicemail that way. In fact, I'll double-check, make sure that I'm giving you the right number, so that you, maybe I've been given the wrong number all this time, and that's why no one has left a voicemail. Let's see. 615-657-9104. Somehow I'm pretty good at remembering that number when I'm giving it out for the show. So you can call that, leave a question, comment, concern, whatever you need to do, leave a voicemail. I will play that on the air. You'll get airtime. I'll get a question to answer, or, you know, your comment. I'll play them too, and respond to it. Yeah. You know? So leave that. And if I get enough, I'll go ahead and do a Q&A episode, put that out. Sometimes the questions, in the past, I've had some really complicated questions, and I'm like, okay, so doing that in the span of a Q&A show, not really within the scope. It's I've broke them off to make them entire shows, in which case I'll still play your phone call. You'll still get your airtime. So send in those questions, and I'll get an episode out. So that's it. As always, you can always leave comments on the blog post itself, survivalpunk.com. Look for the episode, leave a comment. And with that, let's go ahead and get into the show of how to deal with prepper burnout. Most of this works for burnout of a subject in general. So how does this happen? There are a lot of reasons you can get burned out prepping. With prepping, you get into it oft times because of a fear. You fear something's going to happen. You realize that society is not infallible, is not perfect. There are bad things that can happen. It's kind of like taking the, is it the red pill from the Matrix that makes you wake up? We'll say the red pill. I think the blue pill makes you go back to sleep. It's kind of like taking the red pill. You realize shit can happen, and as a responsible member of society, you want to mitigate those things. You want to take care of yourself. You want to take responsibility for your own safety and well-being instead of delegating that to government officials and others. It's the responsible thing to do. You know, instead of how come you let this happen? How did I let this happen? What could I have done to better the situation? It's a difference of mindset there, and it makes all the difference. So when you come into it like that, generally when people get into prepping, they get into it with like a furious vigor. They go all, you know, full retard. They go all out when they first get into it, you know, because it's could be life or death. So it's pretty intense, and anything that intense tends to burn out eventually. That's just, you know, it's just the way it is. Like, if you're solely focused on one single thing for so long, you can get burned out on it. You know, my wife can't stand eating the same foods all the time. She wants to mix it up. I can eat a lot of the same foods for a lot of the same time. But even I eventually am like, I don't want to eat that today. But my tolerance is a lot higher. So there's a couple reasons that I have down that contribute to prepper burnout, not just the furious, intense focus, which I feel is one of the main things. Like, you're thinking about prepping 24/7. You're applying everything to how it is to prepping. Just all that causes mental fatigue, because you just can't think about something that much all the time, without just getting burned out on it. But some of the other factors that lead to it are prepping for an event. When you're focusing on a single event and that event either A, does happen, or B, does not happen, there's some letdown. You know, like, you're prepping for Y2K. And I know there are preppers that were got into prepping back before Y2K because they thought the world was going to end. All the computers were going to shut down. And this was before we even had, you know, the computer infrastructure that we do today. The effects of, if the promise of Y2K happened now as opposed to then, it would be so much worse. All computers shutting down today. Yeah, that's a real shit hit the fan. Back then, really bad. Now, you know, everyone has a computer in their hand 24/7 now. Think about that. Back in, you know, 2000, they did not. So yeah, prepping for an event. So when you're focusing on that event, you know, all those preppers that bought generators and bought, you know, pallets of MREs because Y2K was going to destroy the world, you know, January 2nd, 2000, they're like, oh, none of it happened. The patches for the computers worked, and the ones that weren't patched, not really a big deal. So, what do you think all those people did the day after Y2K? They sold all that stuff. They didn't give shit no more. Their event was done. You know, some of the sort of like lifestyle preppers, the people that were going to be preppers regardless of what's going on, yeah, they're like, oh, okay, well, that's, you know, they added a checkbox to their apocalypses. They've survived and moved on with life and kept prepping. But a lot of people, like, if there had been a Craigslist in the year 2000, it was going to be full of prepping supplies, which I remember watching Conan O'Brien way back in the 90s, and they always did that segment, in the year 2000, because the 2000 was way in the future, and then I think they kept doing it after 2000. Funny. But yeah, most of them just sold all that and they got out because their event was done, but now they're unprepared for life in general. So prepping for an event is probably the number one reason people burn out, because they're like, oh, you know, I did all this work, I did all this prepping, and then, you know, the world didn't even fucking end. What the fuck, dude? So I think there's a part of people's head, like in the back, it's like, I just want the world to end so I could not go to work and shoot bandits and shit. I don't know. But yeah, you prep for life, and I'll talk about that later on with how to deal with it. But, and that was another part of the Doomsday Prepper show that I didn't like. And I know they forced the people on the show to pick a single event. Because I know I've talked to people, I've had friends that have been on that show. I never wanted any part of it, but they literally did make you pick an event. Like, James is prepping for the San Madrid Fault. In case Tennessee is crumbled into the sea again, he will survive. That bullshit. They force you to just, like, you got to pick a disaster you're prepping for. Bob is prepping for economic collapse when the dollar is worth nothing. That bullshit. You know, you don't prep for a single event. You can prep for many events, i.e., you know, when people are starting out, I tell them to prep for the most likely events, i.e., job loss. Ever, you know, like, I don't know anyone alive that has seen a meteor hit the earth and destroy all life. I know a lot of people that have lost jobs. That's a real thing to prep for. So if you told me the event you were prepping for was losing a job, okay, well, that's still not a good thing to do, but if that's one of the many things you're prepping for, is to make sure your life is self-reliant so that if you do lose a job, you're okay. That makes sense. I can deal with that. But, yeah, don't focus on events. Focus on making your overall life better, supplemented by the preps, so that your overall life is better and not focusing on a single event. Makes sense? All right. Another thing that causes prepper burnout is comparing yourself to others. You get into prepping, you join all the forums and the groups on Facebook, and you look around and you see all the bloggers and YouTubers who are preppers, and they are set up. They've got a year's supply of food. They've got an arsenal. They have 3-gun shooting classes under their belt. You know, these are like top of the line preppers, and you look up to them. And you look at the forums and you see these people showing off their giant food supplies and all of their stuff. And you're like, fuck, I'll never be there. You know, you're like, I got a month of food preps stored. And I got like $100 in savings. I'll never have, you know, $50,000 in savings and, you know, a full cabinet of AR-15s with 20,000 rounds and a whole underground bunker full of food. You'll never be there. And that comparison, you get so psyched up on trying to beat other people and not just personally get better. You get burned out. You're like, you know, I'll never be there. I'll never have that much. You know, instead of celebrating your wins, you're focusing on how other people are more prepared than you. Then your preparedness starts to slip, and you're focusing on that race, and then you just don't give a shit no more, you know? And these people, unless they won the lottery, they didn't go from point A to point B just like that. You know, it's, they got their 30-day supply of food. They got their, you know, month savings. They got this, and they kept adding to it and adding to it. And over years, they've got to where they are. Although I used to be fairly active on the Zombie Squad forums back in the day. And there was a guy, unfortunately he passed away, but he did. He hit the lottery, you know, like that 1 in a million shot. This guy hit the lottery and he's like, fuck, I can buy all the guns I want now. So like, he started just being a giant gun collector, you know, rare guns, you know, AR-15s in different styles and flavors and AKs. And, you know, it's just, he had the money then to have all the guns he ever wanted. But I can tell you, I only ever saw that once. I don't visit the forums frequently and see, oh man, these 7 guys all won the lottery and they have bunkers now. You know, you know, all the forums and all the years I've done this, I've only ever seen it happen to one person. So don't bank on being that one guy. But if you are, man, awesome. So yeah, don't compare yourself to others. Compare yourself to yourself and where you were at. So today, are you more prepared than you were when you started? Yes. Good. Keep going. No. What happened? Keep going. You know? And there's ups and downs, you know, like, you're prepping and you do lose your job and you do have to use your prep. So you start sliding backwards as you can't add to your preps really while you're having to use them, but they're there so you could use them. And when you get back on your feet, you start adding to them again. That's why you have it in the first place. And if you hadn't had it, how much worse off would you be? So, don't prep for events. Don't compare yourself to others. Another one of the big reasons people get burned out is time. You know, and that's the excuse. There's never enough time. You know, you've got to work a job. You've got a family. You've got a life. You've got other interests. There's only so much time for you to do anything. How do you have time to do all these prepper things on top of all that? And you find the time, you budget the time, you decide, you know, people are like, oh, I don't have enough time to do that. And they watch, you know, 6 hours of TV a day. Well, you do have the time. You're choosing to use your time for one thing instead of another thing. You know, years ago. So I kind of have a problem that I have dubbed hobby ADD. I get really interested in things, fanatical for periods of time, and, you know, I learn all I can about them and then I move on. But they're always there. Like, they're always integrated part of me. So years ago when I got into fitness the first time, one of the things I was doing a lot of was running. So I was trying to get really a lot better at running, and I bought the How to Run, Running for Dummies, something like that, by Olympic runner Jackie Joyner Kersee. And she was talking about how, like, the same thing about the time. Like, you know, she was training to be an Olympian. You know, obviously she was in school running and stuff, but she had to grow up and get a real job. She didn't go straight to, like, the Olympian training. And she had a job, like, as a banker or something. So she would bring her running clothes and shoes with her in her car, and on her lunch break she would scarf down some food and then go run. You know, so if you really want it, you'll find the time. You know, I remember reading, I don't know, I saw a story, one guy, prepper guy, he had to like commute into town, into a city for his job, and he had to park like in a downtown area. So he would park his car and like walk to his office, and he would look at the base of all the coin meters, because people, when they put in the coin, sometimes they're so lazy or out of time, they would like drop a dime or a quarter or something, and they're like, fuck it, just put another one in and move on with life. So he was like, he would take all that money that he found on the ground underneath the meters, and then go put it in a bank. And like at the end of the month, he made like $20 every month just picking up change off the ground. And that's how, one, that's time that was already there. Like, he had to walk to work. He just looked down, picked up change here and there. And then he had money, which we're going to talk about next. So, if you got to schedule the time, if you're like, okay, so this hour every day is when I'm going to do something prepping. You know, I'm going to slot out a weekend. You know, you find the time, make the time, and then do it. So don't tell me you don't have time, because I will sit there and have you write down every hour of your day and tell you where you have time at. You have time. You're just not using it. You know, unless you're in the military and you're out in the field and every minute of your day is controlled by your officer, but then that itself is good shit hit the fan training anyway. So, you have time. And if you don't believe me, email me and I will tell you where your time is at. Money. Money's the next one. Oh, I can't prep right now. It just costs too much money. The long-term food storage is too much money. MREs too much money. Ammo's too much money. Guns are too much money. It's all too much money. I can't do it. Okay. Okay. I get that. A lot of stuff is fairly expensive and you only have so much money unless you have hit the lottery, like I said earlier. So just like the time, you can find some money, you can do something. And you know, sometimes you might not have the money. There are so many things you can do that don't require money that, you know, it's like this week, say you had a big bill come out, you don't have not a single penny to devote towards preps. There are bazillions of hours of information you can do for free. YouTube, podcasts, my podcasts. I've got almost 200 podcasts, I think, worth of information. You know, minus say the first episode, not really a point in listening to that. God, I hope you haven't listened to the first episode. Those old episodes, other podcasts, other blogs, read, listen, watch. You don't have the money. You can always learn for free. It does not take a dime to go out and try to do a hand drill or a bow drill fire. You've got that stuff. It doesn't take any money to do a lot of these preps. Hiking is a good prepper skill to focus on and doesn't take anything. All the hiking places I know are free. You just go there and you walk. So time, money is not an excuse. Not at all. If you get, it's that mindset of getting hung up on things. Like, I really want to buy a case of MREs, but I'm broke, so I'm just going to watch CSI instead. It's not really a good idea. There are so many things. So when you get to that point where you're like, I can't do this, adapt, overcome, move on, do something else. And I hate that. Like, it's that mentality of like, you're following a recipe, you think you have everything, you skipped an ingredient. You forgot to buy it at the store, you don't have onions, so fuck it, can't do the whole recipe, might as well get McDonald's, right? No. Think about an alternative, you know, think about omitting it, changing the flavor profile. You know, it's like, if you get to something and you're stuck on it, what can you do to not be stuck on it? And I've recommended it in the past. I'll recommend it in the future. The book series, Sword of Truth by Terry Goodkind. Terry Goodkind. I always have to remember if it's Terry Brooks or Terry Goodkind. Terry Brooks did Sword of Truth. Terry Goodkind did Sword of Justice. Terry Brooks did Sword of Shannara. Terry Goodkind did Sword of Truth. Although the Sword of Shannara is actually a Sword of Truth as well. So, confusing. You see what I'm saying here? Terry Goodkind, Sword of Truth series. Wizard's first rule, I believe, is focus on the solution, not the problem. I don't have money. That's the problem. What's the solution? What can you do without the money? How can you get the money? You know, do you need to do a side job? There's a lot of side hustles you can do right now, like the Delivery Dash or Uber or about a million other things. You know, sell stuff on eBay. You know, if your problem is you don't have the money, go get more money or focus on something else. So, and the last the last thing that I have down here for dealing with prepper burnout, or the things that contribute to it, other interests. I guess there are people who only care about prepper shit and prepper related stuff. Like, just, they wake up, they eat, breathe, and sleep prepping. That's all they care about. And they're perfectly fine with it. They never get bored with it. I like a lot of things. And, you know, like I said earlier, I have hobby ADD. I love prepping, love survivalism, but I love a lot of other stuff too. You know, it's probably going to be well in the 70s today. I'm off. I'd love to play frisbee golf, disc golf. I spent the morning watching a Japanese anime series, My Hero Academia. I have a lot of interest, you know, so sometimes those other interests you have can start to get so consuming that you don't want to do the other thing. Sometimes you get obsessed with the one thing and, you know, prepping takes a hit. And, you know, that's a real issue. Like, you're spending all your time, you know, say you're a golfer, traditional golfer. Let's just go for example here. And every spare moment you have, you're going golfing. So you're not really building fires. You're not prepping. You're not doing anything like that. You're watching golf videos to watch the pros play and then tips on how to play better, whatnot. So, you know, it's completely removed you from the prepping thing. And then, you know, it's harder and harder to get back to it. You're burned out. And that's a really real issue. Like, how do you deal with that one? How do you deal with doing other things in life when you know you should also be prepping too? You know, it's maybe you allocate a little time to make sure you're getting some prepping in. Maybe I don't want to jump ahead to how to deal with it section, but having other interests can be an issue why you're prepped out. You're burned out, prepped out. That's a good one. That's why you got prepped out, boy. So yeah, you gotta recognize there are other interests, but maybe not just focus on one, because then you're going to lead yourself to burning out on that one. So, you know, maybe you do 3 or 4 different hobbies in a day. Maybe you split it up. You do one thing on one day, one thing on another day. Split it up, and we'll talk about that. I guess I just need to move on to the how to deal with it section. Just know that other interests can be a contributing factor to dealing with prepper burnout. So how do you deal with it? First, make the mental switch that it's a marathon and not a sprint. You're not going to be the number one prepper just like that. It's going to take time. It's not a race that really has an end point. Like we said, you don't focus on an event. You focus on the lifestyle. You prep to make your life better for always. You know, you're not running towards the end. You're moving along the path of life, you know. You got to make that switch. Like, if you're focused on just hurrying up and getting there, you're going to burn yourself out. And like I said, that's that full throttle, you know, full intense, you know, all out run. It's going to burn you out, guys. Slow down, you know, and just focus on getting your, focus on moving that slider of the, are you more prepared or less prepared? Just a little bit more, you know. I'm doing just a little bit today. So that's, you know, focus on that. prep for life and not events. We've talked about this. I'm going to beat it a little bit harder before we move on. Don't get focused on, oh, I got to prep for, the collapse of the dollar. I got to prep for, you know, why 2.5K. I got to prep for this, whatever it is. Focus on the preps that make your overall life better and keep moving those along. Don't even try to focus on an event. If someone asks you why you're prepping, you say to make life better, to handle for life. You're prepping for life. There's no end to it. You know, whoever wants to stop making their life better. Nobody wants to make their life worse. I mean, people do it. People are real good at just, you know, fucking life up and just sabotaging themselves. And you got to fight that and just prep for making everything better. You know, and look for holes in your preps. Look for blind sides that you have. You know, oh, I've completely neglected this whole thing. That's something else to look into. But not events, just overall. All right? Create realistic goals. So like we said, if you're comparing yourself to others, that's not a realistic goal. You know, find a gap, a hole you have in your preps. Create a goal based around it that's... Tim Ferriss has a goal thing, and I can't remember all of it. It's an acronym-based thing. We love acronyms, right? It's a realistic goal. It's achievable and timely and specific or something like that. And I should have looked it up, but I just thought about it. So you want to make a goal that is actually achievable. So let's say you want to put in a garden bed. I like the square foot gardening technique, so it's a 6x4 garden bed. You basically need 3 2x4s if they're 6 feet long. And then you got some like leftover. So you got, or is it 3? 8. So 8x4, that's a much better size. Good job. It's early still. So yeah, you need 3 2x4s. They're 8 feet long. You cut one in half. That's your 2 4-foot pieces. You have your 2 8-foot pieces. Those 8-foot pieces, obviously your long side pieces. You just screw the 4-foot pieces into it. You make a long rectangle. You put potting soil. You put dirt in it. You put in your seeds and or flowers, you know, put some mulch on it, water it, let it grow. So yeah, you would pick that goal. You would pick to put in a garden bed. You would see what you need to do it. You would get the materials and you do it. So a goal that's achievable and you've set a time frame for it. You can't say in the future, I'll do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, set like a 2 week, a 1 month, you know, goals. I don't think you should be making these, you know, goals like this more than like a 3 month time frame. Like you can make longer term goals. But I think more than like 3 months, you're going to start getting to that burnout phase. So you're like, oh, well, I can do this within the next month. So you do that. You set a time frame. You work towards that goal. At the end of the time frame, you evaluate your results. Well, I have a garden bed and it looks like it's doing well. Bam. You know, and then you celebrate your wins. You know, no one likes to work towards something and not see results and not, people like to celebrate their wins. You know, when I'm playing board games with my friends, if I win, I break out into song and sing that I am the champion. champions if I'm with a team partner. But yeah, celebrate your wins. And that setting a goal, achieving a goal, and celebrating your win, that definitely helps with burnout. You can't get burned out when you're celebrating victory. You just can't. You just can't. So don't, like I said, try to keep, you can have bigger goals, but make sure you don't skip the small ones. Having more of those achievable goals and celebrating them is better than having a lot of long-term futuristic goals that you don't really see a lot of progress towards, and then you get let down. You're like, I'm just not getting there. And then it snowballs, and next thing you know, you're not prepping. You're not doing anything. It's months later. You're like, fuck, I need to get back into this. Fuck. So, yes, you can have big goals, but make sure along the way towards getting those big milestones, you got lots of small victories to make. Money. Let's talk about money. So you're burned out because you just don't have the money. And we've talked about this. I didn't do a very good job of really separating the what causes burnout and how to deal with it. I kind of mixed them together. Whatever. So you're spending all your money on MREs and you can't take your wife out to a movie because you're broke because you bought a case of MREs. These things tend to add up, and next thing you know, you're burned out. You're like, I'm tired of spending all my money, and the world hasn't even fucking ended, and I haven't seen a movie in 6 years. Fuck this shit. So, like we said before, you kind of got to diversify. You can't put all of your time and energy into one thing. You got to spread yourself out a little bit. And there are certainly a lot of things you can do for free. You know, maybe you skip buying your prepper thing this week so you can go on a date night. You know, don't make that all the time, but make sure that it's there. And certainly don't neglect your prepping by not doing anything. Do something free. Go practice your fire starting skills. You know, go build a lean-to in the woods. Go hiking. Maybe as part of your date night, you go on a hike, not a hard one. Don't go up the mountain. You know, just go on a relaxing hike. Release some endorphins, spend some time in the woods, go see a movie, eat a food, bam, whole day of date, and you've worked on your prepping. You've combined it. So, and that's not even, that's just sort of diversifying there. There are a lot of ways to make money. And possibly at some point in the future, I've talked about it, maybe I will do a movie. Maybe I'll do an episode on making money online. Before I started the website, I actually had made money on eBay and a few other little things. Nothing big, but you know, I made some money doing some online stuff, and it still amazes me that like I have these little things from the internet that bring me money. You know, like I have the membership support money coming in, which I think today I have membership money coming in today. Which is awesome. I get some ad revenue here and there. I get some little things. I've tested reselling stuff that I never actually owned. So I went to places like, Alibaba, AliExpress, saw an item, copy the picture, copy the description, put it on eBay, listed it, sold it. The guy, obviously, eBay sends you the shipping information. I went and typed that into AliExpress, had them ship it straight to the buyer. And I paid with the money, and I marked it up enough on eBay so that I made some money to cover my, you know, torturous hours of copying and pasting. which was not hard at all. You know, and I think I had 3 listings, 2 sold, for, you know, maybe 30 minutes worth of copy pasting and then putting the information over. And, you know, I think eBay was like, you have 3 listings, you could list 97 more or something, or 2 more. So yeah, someone, if they really wanted to, could make a living copying and pasting ads on eBay and selling from another place like that, drop shipping them. Not hard. And that's just one way. Like, I just looked up, I saw a video, I watched it, and then, you know, instead of going, oh, you know, maybe I just like, fuck it, I'll just go do it right now and see what happens. And, you know, I sold 2 of those items and made some money. So, if you got like an hour, you can throw those up, and then as they sell, add more ones. Go watch a YouTube video on it. It's, you can legitimately make money doing that. And that's just one way to make money online. And funnel that money. Say you get up early one morning before you, like on a weekend, do all these listings. And then as they come in, do that. And then funnel that money straight into your preps. That's not money coming out of your budget. You didn't spend a dime to do any of it. You just spent some time. So there is money to be made. There are so many. Deliver pizzas. Go get a side hustle. Go do one of these mini things like Uber and whatnot is popping up. Time. I think we've beat time pretty hard. The offer remains. If you say you do not have time to prep, email me. And after I berate you thoroughly, I will show you where your time is at. You've got time. Make the time. Multitask, you know, if you're going to watch your shows, get out your spoon knife, your hook knife, and make a spoon while you're doing it. There's time to do something prepping related. I'm not going to argue with you. There is. If you say there's not, you're wrong. There's time. So learn new things that are related. You know, like, there are a lot of, it's one of those things where it's like you can almost make anything into a prepping related type hobby or satellite around it. Maybe you see, an archery class offered. That's a good prepping skill. You know, maybe, like we've said a million times, hiking. There are a lot of things related to prepping that you can put into it and have fun doing something that, you know, maybe you only focus on wilderness building and, you find something that's related to prepping, but not in the field that you have sort of niched yourself into. You know, one time the Bass Pro Shops here in Nashville had a hiking seminar, like a hiking, like a lecture, you know, and it was, They were not preppers. They were like more of the ultralight hiking camp. And, you know, they had some really good tips because they're coming from a related field, but not the same. They came from it from different points of views. And they, you know, a lot of their ideas were very adaptable into prepping. So find those things, find related things that are similar enough and that you can apply, but without fueling the burnout. Lastly, take a break. Sometimes there's really not a lot you can do to prevent burnout. And the harder you push it, the more the burnout just sort of burns. You know, like if you're trying to fight through the burnout, sometimes that just makes the burnout so much worse. Sometimes you just need to take a break. Not lastly, I have 2 more things after this, or so or more. but yeah, sometimes just taking a break is what you need to do. Just, you know, make sure you have a timeline in mind. But just kind of go cold turkey for just a little bit. Excuse me. let me get a drink. Oh, this winter heat spell of 66 is going to burn me alive in here. Yeah. Sometimes taking a break is what you need to do. You know, I have found that forcing yourself to do something that you really don't want to do is going to make you sloppy. It's going to show in your work, you know, and it's going to do more damage than taking a break. There is a chance during the drought that I could have put out some podcasts, but I feel that the quality would have been so poor that I would have drove more fans away than not putting out an episode. Going through the, I work retail. Many of you know that. Going through the holiday season at work, put a lot of burnout pressure on me and basically didn't want to do anything when I wasn't at work. I wanted to just collapse into my chair, you know? So yes, I could have probably put out an episode, but I feel that the quality that you would have heard my voice, you could have felt the burnout, you wouldn't have felt the passion that you normally get. And if I'm not bringing the thunder, I'm not bringing anything. I want you guys to know that I care about you and will put out a good episode with passion and not a poor thing. So I believe the burnout is completely gone. And you can expect passionate, good episodes for quite a while to come. So yeah, take a break. If you need to, take a break. Make sure you know that you're going to come back to it. And, you know, set a time frame. I didn't set a time frame. I should have. But I had to get it out. So, let's... I have to watch something prep related. So sometimes that can sort of spark it back in you. You know, like a zombie movie, shit hit the fan, post-apocalyptic, something related. You know, watching those things can really do a lot. Like zombie movies are one of the reasons I got into prepping in the first place. While on the drought, I watched Bird Box with Serenity. Kind of a shit hit the fan. Kind of a lot, actually. Not a bad movie. I wouldn't say I loved it. There's issues with it, but had some good parts. And man, how bad would that suck if you had a shit hit the fan where you couldn't go outside and look at things, like being totally blind? Like, can you imagine being in a firefight without seeing? Like, oh man, that's a sucky world. And my theory is it was Cthulhu. Cthulhu took over the world, guys. Use automation. So, yeah, you might be taking a break. You might be on burnout. But there's a lot of things you can do to keep prepping without any thought being put onto it. There's a lot of subscription-type services you can get, like Thrive's Q, where you pick a list of things that you want, you set a budget, and then during the time, like say monthly or week, biweekly, they see what's on your list, they grab you something, they deduct it from the amount of money that you're willing to spend on it, they mail it to you. You don't have to think about it. You just take it, open it, put it in the place where it needs to go, and you move on with life. There are a lot of subscription type, and the subscription type things are getting even more. Like Amazon has a lot of subscription type things. You can get those, set them up, and then when money comes out automatically, you don't notice it as much as when you have to click the buy button. When it's just gone, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's a bill. I got to pay it. And it came out, so I didn't notice it. You know, unless it happens to come out the day before payday, like always, and screw you in the asshole. But anyway, even when that happens, you deal with it, you move on. It's a bill that came out. There's nothing you can do about it. So setting up automation for that time, for those things, that's the best. That's such a good way to grow your preps. I really think I'm going to reactivate my queue, especially with like freeze dried fruit and veggies, you know, set a low budget, like 20 a month, and then, have that just come out. And then lastly, prepping can be fun. Make sure you find time to do the fun things. Shooting, going out with your family on a hike, find fun, have fun. You know, nothing will prevent burnout more than having a good time doing it. You know, if you're miserable doing something, burnout's like, I'm here, I'm burning. But if you're having a good time, you're not going to get burned out nearly as fast or as easily. So that's my number one tip. Find a way to do it and have fun doing it. Don't make everything a laborious chore. So that's all I've got this week, guys. It was a good full-size episode. So this is James Sicklin Burnett. DIY to not get burned out, you guys.